Elvis opened for them, the Everly Brothers were inspired by their harmonies, the Byrds and Emmylou Harris recorded their songs. The Louvin Brothers are considered one of the great vocal harmony duos of country music. They were popular at the Grand Ole Opry and well represented on the country music charts from the late 50s until the mid-60s when the act broke up. Brother Ira was killed in a car accident soon after. Charlie Louvin kept performing at the Opry and has continued to record. He has a new album coming out in November. Charlie Louvin turned 83 in July. Shortly before that, he was diagnosed with stage 2 pancreatic cancer. We send him our best wishes. We're going to listen back to an interview we recorded in 1996 after the release of his CD, The Longest Train, featuring songs that he first recorded with his brother.
When I stop dreaming, that's when I'll stop loving you. The worst I've ever been hurt in my life, the first time I ever wanted to die, was the night when you told me you loved someone else. Ask me if I could forget. When I stop dreaming, that's when I'll stop wanting you.
Charlie Louvin with harmonies by Barry and Holly Tashian. I asked Louvin if it was difficult to sing without his brother's harmonies after his brother died.
I'd always believed that any song's worth singing is worth putting harmony on, and of course I had grown used to that for the 23 years that my brother and I had worked together, and even today, 34 years after he's gone, when it comes time for the harmonies to come in, I will move to my left, because my brother and I always just used one microphone. And so you had to share the mic, and I will move over to the left to give the harmony room, knowing in my mind that there's no harmony standing on my right, but it's just old habits are hard to break.
The harmonies that you created with your brother, I think, were based on the Sacred Harp singing that you used to do in church. Would you describe those kinds of harmonies that come out of Sacred Harp singing, or what's also known as shaped note singing?
I'm not sure, Terry, that I can describe them or explain them where they'd be understood. It's just something, I don't have any musical learning. What I know and what we did is it just came natural for us, because we was raised in a family that went to these sacred harp singings with regularity. There's things that I can't explain to it. They're doing five-part harmonies, and most people today thinks that four is the limit when a quartet sings, that they've got all the parts, but the sacred harp or shape note singing people use the five harmonies, and some of them are extremely high with the ladies' parts, and none of them as low as the quartets practice today. It would be like a mid-range bass part.
Your early recordings were gospel tunes. Many of them were originals. In fact, why don't we hear one of those originals that you co-wrote with your brother Ira? This was made in 1952, and the song is called "The Family Who Prays."
Fathers and mothers, filling their hearts with his envy and hate, heading their their pathway down to destruction, leaving their children like orphans to stray. The family who prayed will never be parted.
It's the Leuven Brothers from 1952. Chet Atkins featured on electric guitar?
Yes, Chet recorded our first Capitol record with us, and Chet is a big part of the Leuven Brothers sound, from The Family Who Prays right on through to the end of the Leuven Brothers career.
You were singing a lot of gospel songs early in your career, but I know your brother Ira had the reputation of being a heavy drinker and of having quite a temper. Did you share the same religious convictions? Did you live with the same kind of values, or was there a big, big difference there?
No, a lot of us know better, but we don't do better. He knew better. He is extremely well-versed on the good book as far as knowing what was right or wrong. He just wasn't able to conquer the devil, I guess, we didn't have any major problems with the drinking until, I'd say, end of 1958. The Leuven Brothers records, the sales slowed down as all other country artists did in 1958 because the music was changing. And so our producer told my brother, I believe that it's the mandolin that's keeping the Leuven Brothers records from selling, which had always been a featured part. My brother worked hard to become proficient on the mandolin. And when this producer, namely Ken Nelson, said this to my brother, my brother feeling that Mr. Nelson was a close friend and a trusted friend, he believed him. And so he would never play his mandolin again on a recording. After that statement, if it would come up, somebody would say, oh, I think this would sound good with the mandolin. My brother would say, no, I'll let the piano do it or let the guitar do it. Anybody, but I'm not doing it. And it caused him to drink extremely heavy, and he went, between then and the time he passed away, went through three wives and just lots and lots of problems that he never could whip.
Did you start losing dates, too? Did he get a reputation for drinking a lot?
Unfortunately, Terry, if you're half of a duet, one person in that duet don't ever get a bad name. It's just the Leuven Brothers did this.
Mm-hmm.
The Leuven Brothers did that. Anything he did, good, bad, or indifferent, I was in the minds of the promoters and the radio stations and what have you, I was as guilty as he. And no way that I could change that. The only way I could change it would be for us to not to be together. And that finally happened in August 18th, 1963. I just, we had gone from a pretty good career. From early the 50s, the song The Family Who Prays, right on up through our recordings, we had done quite well. And we find ourselves in 1963 on the bottom of the totem pole. And that's what happened to the Leuven Brothers' career.
I want to play another original gospel song that you recorded called I Like the Christian Life. That's really a beautiful song. Graham Parsons loved this song and used it on the Byrds album Sweetheart of the Rodeo. Do you remember writing this?
No, I don't. Things went and come in the Leuven Brothers' career. Sometimes my brother would be a totally good man. He could have been a preacher if he wanted to. He was that knowledgeable of the good book, and he had the gift. But my brother was the gifted songwriter. I came up with the ideas. If I could give him a title and a few words of the story, he could write it in 5 minutes. So this is the way we worked. I don't specifically remember the day that song was wrote, but I remember that my brother was attempting with all of his might to live a Christian life. So at that time, and the statement was made, I like the Christian life. He thought that might make a song, so what you're about to play is what he got just from that title.
Let's hear it, and this is from Charlie Louvin's new album called The Longest Train.
My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun. But I am happy and I sing with pride. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by
him. That's a 1996 version of Charlie Louvin singing the Louvin Brothers song, I Like the Christian Life. You and your brother broke up the Louvin Brothers and went your separate ways in 1963, and it was, I think, just about a year later that your brother and his wife were killed in a head-on road collision, and I think it was the driver in the other car that was drinking and that was responsible for the crash. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. It happened in Missouri, halfway mark between Kansas City and St. Louis. My brother was coming home from an engagement that they had been on in Kansas City. And the other two people was going from St. Louis to Kansas City to celebrate Father's Day. They just started celebrating it too early, that's all. They didn't wait till they got out of that car.
How did it change your life when your brother was killed?
Well, I'd already become a solo artist, so to speak, Terry, and I had released, or Capitol Record people had released I Don't Love You Anymore, which went to the number one spot. And I believe the second song was Think I'll Go Somewhere to Cry Myself to Sleep. It was doing good at the time, and my brother kind of... I kind of felt that somebody had done him wrong, but I hadn't. Music is the only thing I knew, and so naturally I would try to stay in the business, and because he had sworn to me that he was getting out of the business. However, he was making attempts to get back in the business. Had a couple of records released for Capitol Records. Neither one of them had done anything, but I'm sure that if he would have been given time, he'd have figured out what the public wanted, and that's what he would have gave them.
You still performing with the Opry?
Yes, ma'am.
How long has it been?
I'm almost finished with my 42nd year.
Wow.
In February next will be my 42nd anniversary, and I'll start into my 43rd year with the Opry, and I'm really hoping that it'll work into something regular here soon.
Right. Charlie Louvin recorded in 1996. He last performed at the Opry in July, which is the month he turned 83. It was quite a month. He also underwent surgery for stage 2 pancreatic cancer. We wish him well. We'll close with a 1958 Louvin Brothers recording of one of their best-known songs, a song that Emmylou Harris covered, If I Could Only Win Your Love. You'll find links to all the interviews in our country music series on the website nprmusic.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. I'm Terry Gross.